Hello and welcome to The Garden Show. My name's Kitty LaBounty.
I'm Molly Cabler, and we're here in the studio by recording. So we can't take your call this morning, but we're delighted to be here with you. And if you do have a question, be sure and let us know at the radio station, and we will answer your questions at one of our future garden shows.
So we've been talking quite a bit about some of our favorite flowering plants. We talked about rhododendrons and we talked about primroses. But we also wanted to talk about vegetables this season. And we wanted to start out with talking about some vegetables that we both think are pretty easy for people to grow here. So you don't have to have like the ultimate spot or lots of experience to feel very confident in growing these vegetables. I mean, it's kind of the same principle we use with flowers and with rhododendrons. These things grow well here, grow them. So we're going to give you a little list of vegetable plants that you can grow.
And not only grow, but that will really give you something to eat. I mean, I know that sounds silly, but some things are easy to grow, but will you eat them, or are they the things that, you know, you want to have some productivity in your yard? And so that's what this show is all about.
Yeah, so regardless of what list of plants we give you, if they're not something you or your family are going to eat, well, grow something else, right? So we both picked a list of plants that we both like to eat and grow well here and are productive. So we're going to start out with lettuce.
There's a lot of kinds of lettuces to grow, and so certainly you can hardly go wrong. Perhaps with the exception that the classic iceberg lettuce that you buy at the grocery store, that head lettuce, that's not the best one to choose.
I have been successful in growing things that are similar to that, the crisp head lettuces and the romaine. So you can get ones that are nice and crunchy, but the easiest ones are probably the loose leaf lettuces.
And for me, the easy one is the black-seeded Simpson, or the varieties of the black-seeded Simpson. And then another one of my favorites is the oak leaf lettuce, because it's productive and tasty and easy. I know, Kitty, you've grown lots of different beautiful lettuces over the years. What's some of your most productive and easy ones?
I think that the speckles one are ones that do well for me. So they're usually ones that are red and green, and I haven't had ones that were really very fussy. But those were probably my favorite. But I really like to grow the better heads the best, regardless of type. I just like the way they look. All those little leaves are like rolled up together, and they form like a soft head. And they're usually a little sweeter. And I haven't had any problem with them getting bitter at all. So really, just about any of those you can find. And I honestly can't think of a kind of lettuce that I've tried that wasn't successful. I mean, and I've tried lots of different kinds, because I will admit that many times I pick a lettuce variety by its name. I like, oh, that's a cool name. I want to grow that one. And it seems they're no-brainers. It's nice. But don't feel bad if yours doesn't grow right in your garden the first time. I'll give you some tips about that.
And the basic one is, I think direct seeding is the best bet. Yes, you can transplant lettuces. You can start them in advance. But for the simplest, easiest thing, sow the lettuce seeds, which are tiny, somewhat thinly, and be ruthless about thinning them when they get to be a couple of inches high. You can eat all those thinnings and then go on from there.
That's what I like the best. When you thin lettuce, you just pop it in your mouth. I was going to say, one of the ones I like that I should have mentioned is something called trout's back. So they are mostly green with these cool red mottles on them. So they're pretty nice.
So what's number two?
Number two for me is kale. And because kale, again, is a super easy plant to grow here, and it will tend to grow all winter long with only if you may not need to protect it at all. So kale, and I like Siberian, and I like the Italian types, the Lacinados, there's Red Russians, there's lots of different kales that do well here.
One of the things, if you do like kale and you haven't started growing it, try the Red Russian. You can grow it right amongst your perennials. It will self-seed, and you can have it all the time. I also think in our climate, it's more tender and sweet than some of the other kales, and it's certainly more tender and sweet typically than the kale you buy in the grocery store. I mean, thankfully we can buy kale, but it's easy and tough. It's easy to grow and tough in our climate and in almost any kind of growing situation.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever done any fussing with my kale. Basically, it goes into the garden bed around things, and then I just harvest it as needed. So I'll usually just pull off a few leaves. If I plant, sometimes I'll plant the plants a little denser than maybe I should, and then I'll pull out whole plants. Otherwise, I just remove the leaves that I want.
And kale's easy, either transplants or seed, direct seed. Easy on that.
Yeah, so it just depends. And with a lot of the things that I grow, I like to have some direct seeded and some started in pots. It feels like I'm kind of hedging my bets. Number three is peas.
Peas are easy here, and one of the great things about them is you can start them right now. They're tough for cold times, so soak those peas overnight, the pea seeds overnight, and then plant them out. And typically they need something to be tied to or scramble onto, but it can be simple as a branchy twig.
Yeah, so actually the fun thing about peas is you probably could have planted them a month ago, and even if they didn't start growing, they weren't going to rot. So they are impressively well adapted to cool springs, late winter. Besides soaking them, the one thing I like to always make myself do is plant the darn fence at the same time that I plant the peas, if not before. Otherwise, you go, oh, phooey, I needed to support those peas, and you just make a mess. So try to set it up in advance, and then it's just all ready. You don't have to worry about it. And if the fence is there, they will grow and, you know, tendril themselves to it. You don't usually have to do a darn thing to get them to attach. So I like snow peas the best.
Right. So the edible potted peas, snow peas, or sometimes they call them snap peas, and I'm with Kitty on that. Those are the ones I like best. Yes, you can grow shelling peas here, but for the most productivity, look for a variety that's called an edible potted pea, or looks like that kind of flatter version of a pea pod.
Yeah, so you can grow things like the Oregon sugar pod is a snow pea, so it will always be flat unless you really mess up and forget to harvest it. And then the snap peas are more the other kind of edible pod, and they can get a little fatter, but you still want to eat them when they're young, and I've had good luck with Cascadia. And really, I think the only thing you want to do besides soak them, put the fence up. I like to thin them to about an inch apart. If not, I actually don't even go through the thinning stage with these guys. I actually plant them an inch apart, which is wild for me.
Another thing about peas is if you keep them picked, they'll bloom more and produce more. So those are the ones you don't wait for a big crop. As soon as you see some nice ready-to-eat pea pods or snap peas, take those off and encourage that plant to keep blooming and keep producing across the season.
And frankly, they are tastier when they're younger, so go for it. Number four are potatoes.
And we've talked a lot on the Garden Show about potatoes, but I think in terms of productivity for something that's going to have the most volume and weight to eat in your garden is going to be growing potatoes.
So I like to start my potatoes indoors, and by start them indoors, I mean I put the potatoes that are just starting to sprout, or the ones that I know I want to grow, I put them in a window, and then I let those stems, those new buds start indoors so that I don't get these long stringy tendrils. I get these nice fat leaf-bearing little stems coming off of them, and that's, for me, is the ultimate. I mean, I'll also plant things that haven't been resprouted, or I plant ones with long tendrils too, but if I have my choice and my act together, I get them pre-sprouted in my window.
And it's really depends, the variety depends on what you like best. We've spoken about Yukon Golds and purple varieties and fingerlings. So any of those will grow just fine. It's more what you're looking for. Do you want a big, heftier potato? Well, that's a Yukon Gold or maybe some of the big purple varieties. If you like the smaller fingerling styles that have a pretty sweet taste, try that one.
I'm totally a fingerling fan. I really like the rose fins. One other thing about potatoes is do not lime the bed that you're putting those potatoes in. That's the one exception, you know, in the vegetable world, is that if you lime it, you tend to get more problems with scab, which is a fungal disease that it eventually ends up in almost everybody's yard, but you can minimize it by not liming the year that you are planting potatoes. And you could plant, make sure that the potatoes you plant don't have noticeable scab. It's up to you.
All right, so what's number five?
Number five is probably my favorite. It's carrots. I love to grow carrots because of all the things that we've talked about. Carrots are the things that are just, to me, light years apart what you can buy in the store, regardless of how good the store is, from what you grow. This, like, the difference is phenomenal.
And by difference, you mean the flavor.
The flavor. The flavor of a homegrown carrot, for the most part, is unbelievably good. And I grow a lot. I usually grow at least 10 different kinds of carrots every year. I fill an entire giant bed full of carrots. And by giant, I mean 4 by probably 12 to 15. I get kind of nuts with carrots, but I'm still using carrots that I grew last year, and they're still fine.
Yeah, not long ago, I pulled my last carrots from last year. I mean, like within the last month or so, and they were tasty even after waiting out there in the bed all winter.
Yeah, so carrots, I think, are fine. You know, this year was pretty mild, so on other years I've covered them. When it seemed like it was going to get colder, I put some sort of heavy mulch down, and actually one year I even put a tarp over that kind of like held it all, and that was my outdoor storage for my carrots, and I just pulled as I wanted. That way the ground stayed thawed when I was pulling them. But the biggest thing with the carrots is prepare your soil. So you want to make sure that soil is nice and fluffy, and you can sink your fingers down into it really easily. So this is the bed I fuss with the most. I like literally go down where I'm going to plant the carrots, and I put my little fingers down and make sure it feels pretty free and open. And, you know, sometimes as much as a foot, but I usually don't go quite that deep, to be honest with you, probably more like 8 to 10 inches.
Right. That's more what I have going for my carrots. And they're not as big and as often, sometimes they are, but often they're not as big as the ones that I do get at the store. They're awfully tasty, and it's the Nantes varieties. It's really, there's so many carrots in commerce right now, but if it's a Nantes, you probably are going to have good luck with it. So Nantes, and there are many, many cultivars and varieties.
Oh my gosh, there's so many, but I really like, I've tried a bunch of the purple ones in different colors, but I tend to really like the orange ones the best. I direct sow these guys, and then you do have to thin them. And I try to, you can tell, I like do pretty well planting with the seeds a reasonable distance apart. And somewhere, you know, I lose it and they start getting a little crazier. But I give them shoulder room on both sides, but I plant my carrots fairly densely. I plant them across the bed instead of, you know, down the length of the bed. So grow carrots. You'll love them.
And one of the things I found out about carrots is at the end of the season, if it seems like they're not very big, they can really get big quickly toward the end of the season. I think they almost sense the turning of the light and the sun, and they get going. So we are almost done, but we did have a couple of bonus things. So mm-hmm. Those are your top five. So that's lettuce, kale, peas, carrots, and potatoes. But also, my bonus is rhubarb. Super easy, a lot of productivity. Just needs light and some nutrition.
And my bonus, I'm gonna call it garlic. I love growing garlic. It grows. It's super easy. Plant it in the fall. You can eat the green part. You can eat the bulbs later on. I don't think you can grow too much garlic. It's just all so darn good.
All right, well, we're wishing you a very productive veggie garden this year. For The Garden Show, I'm Molly Kabler.
And I'm Kitty LaBounty.